church.
Right, listen to this. You guys belong to me.
Is that what Kirby said to Florida?
Hey, that's right. But I'm telling you, you can't beat that oldies get going. I tell you, our man over there, he can roll them up over there, Logan. But
Logan takes requests.
Yeah, I operate a jukebox, and thankfully Coach brings his dimes.
I got two things to do every Tuesday. On Monday night, I got to work hard on my checking all these teams around the country that I don't ever watch. So when you ask me about it, I got at least something about it. And then delving into the oldies. But we got some good ones today, and a good win for Georgia. You know, glad to see us take care of business against a good team when we really didn't have our A game on offense. Defensively looked great. Just a solid win.
Yeah, 27-0 the final score. The defense still hasn't allowed a rushing touchdown. That was the third shutout of the year. And, you know, I kind of like that intensity at the end of the game when Missouri got close. You knew Georgia was trying to bow up. They didn't want them to score, especially a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, Mizzou called a timeout, which let us get our first team back in there. And those kids take a lot of pride in that record. I mean, I don't know how much longer you can keep that going, but I don't know which they wanted best, to shut them out of all the way or just keep them out from scoring a rushing touchdown. But, you know, our tackling continues to be just outstanding in the open field. I mean, you got to realize that college football team got scholarship guys just like we do, and there's a lot of open field plays, but we just don't give up many big, you know, explosive plays, and we don't have anybody hammer and tong, you know, be patient enough to try to do that against us. So it's just good to see our defense really coming together. It's kind of a team of, you know, 20, 22, 3 guys, maybe, you know, a lot more players than maybe some defense because we substitute so many packages, but they all really play and know their roles. And it was great to see Tyson Campbell get back in there and get some action, and also Tyreek Stevenson, who we talked about, David, when he was recruited, one of the premier corners probably we've ever signed as far as just pure speed out of Miami, Florida, just a big-time corner that can do everything, and played him in our nickel package. Devon Wilson had a little bit of a hip corner, I think, and we played him in there, and he did a good job breaking on the ball and also tackling.
Hey, Coach, we talked before the season started with all these guys you're talking about, the Havoc plays. We're going to see a lot more of that. There's going to be an emphasis on the Havoc plays, and I'm sure there has been, but it still feels like Georgia's doing defensively what they did under Coach Tucker of limiting the explosive plays by the other team. Right. I think we're a +2 in the turnover, so it's not a big
huge stat. We haven't really turned the ball over much, and the other team hasn't turned it over to us, but we're definitely rushing and hurrying the quarterback some. We're in his face, and we're moving the pile back. I mean, Jordan Davis is just such a big guy up front that he can really make a lot of things happen. And that's why you see guys like Monty Rice just all over the field. And, 30 is just all in there too. I mean, he's had a great year. And we got a chance to see a little bit of N'Kobe Dean the other night. So is his explosiveness and ability to play inside out.
Yeah, he had 3 tackles.
Right. So, you know, we got a tough road to hoe here going. We'll talk about the Auburn game, but, bad taste in your mouth seeing South Carolina lose to Appalachian and the way they lost to them, too. They couldn't, you know, their offense has been really bad all year. We just helped them out with a few turnovers when they got a defensive score, but you can't reflect on that. But, we still got a tough schedule coming up here when you look at Texas A&M starting to put their, you know, put it all together. They're 5-3, but they've got to play us and LSU. Mm. And you realize that they probably could set the Guinness Book of Records for might play every team in the playoff. I mean, they've already played Clemson. They played Alabama. They're going to play LSU, and they're going to play Georgia. I mean, you know, 3 of those 4 are going to probably be in the playoffs. So, I mean, they're paying the guy $7.5 million, but he didn't realize that was his schedule.
$75 million over 10 years. So, why would you leave Florida State? That's why. That kind of money. And now Florida State looking for a new coach, and so is Arkansas.
Well, we kind of had that one pegged a couple of years ago. The guys just had a hard time as a head coach, whether it was at SMU or at Arkansas. He did a good job in high school, but, you know, all that stuff that they do on offense just puts your defense in such a bad situation if they don't make a first down, and their defense is, you know, like Coach Coach Chief said, you know, that he said when he got there, the defensive coordinator, that, you know, that the defense was broken, and now he said, hey, it's been broken when we got here, and it's still broken.
Yeah, but Coach Chavis will land on his feet somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's moved around. You know, he went from Tennessee to LSU to A&M, but his resume the last 3 or 4 years has not been that great. And part of his scheme, which he always really did a great job, is he played that bear defense, you know, where they have an 8-man front, and that's really not the answer against all these spread offenses. And if you don't have corners that can play man, you're in a world of hurt. I mean, you got corners that can play man like LSU and Alabama, and they were still in a world of hurt. 46-41. Woo. I mean, we'll talk about that later too.
Georgia getting set to take on Auburn this Saturday. The Dogs with the 27-0 shutout over Missouri this past Saturday. You mentioned number 30, Tay Crowder. And I know he switched positions since he came to Georgia, but he's one of Georgia's all-time most improved players from when he got here to where he is now.
Yeah, you got that one right. And just goes to show you that it's easy to get in the transfer portal. You know, hey, coach, he wants you to make a position move. You think you're better than you are, and you transfer out of here. But this guy, whatever that Kirby's asking him to do, and where he made his mark early was when we had the, you know, the better backs here, the ones that were ahead of him, like Sony and Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing special teams really well, and Kirby and Schumann and them noticed how well he tackled in space and got off blocks and talked to him about becoming a linebacker. And I'm telling you, the guy is not only a very good tackler, but he's also a good pass cover, and he does a really good job of analyzing the plays and really is a smart player that knows our scheme. you know, one of the things we heard with Greasy last week talking about our defense, which I've said numerous times, people don't believe me. We do have a very intricate defense with a lot of checks and a lot of calls, and it's very it takes a real mature guy to be the ringleader of that defense, and he does a good job of getting us in the right stuff.
You mentioned Tay Crowder. Monty Rice had a good game. I think Quay Walker, the sophomore, got him a sack. The middle of that defense, and you also mentioned Kobe Dean, is really starting to come into its own, and that's a big reason we still have this no rushing touchdown streak still alive.
Right. I mean, our defense is set up for the linebackers to make inside-out plays for the interior guys, whether we're in a 3-4 or a 4-2 look, whatever it might be, to control the gaps and pressure the offensive front and knock them back. And I knew when they kept trying to run east and west on us, that's just not the answer against us. And that's why I think we should have a lot of success tackling Auburn, because they run a lot of outside zone and read plays where they go east and west, mm-hmm. instead of north and south. And you saw us stymie them last year. They couldn't do anything. But they've got a lot of speed. We'll get a game plan on that and talk about them in a little bit. But for sure, the mm-hmm. fact that our corners are playing so well, Stokes and Daniels, really make people try to attack the middle of the field more, going after the safeties and going inside, because we just really tackle well east-west.
It's another opponent coming off the week where they didn't play, too.
Yeah, it's three straight bye weeks.
Yeah.
I think we got a game against bye here in a couple weeks. It's amazing.
They beat Tech a few weeks ago.
It's amazing. It's amazing that this could happen in your schedule like it has. But, you know, it is what it is. But the benefits of a bye for any team we know are to, you know, kind of get your ducks in a row, get people healthy. Also, self-evaluate your own team to see what's happened to you and why you've being successful and why you're not. And there's always a few wrinkles that they haven't shown that you have more time to work on. You know, it's hard to put anything new when you only got 3 days of practice. And essentially, that's about all you got. You know, you got Monday where you go out and just loosen up and get the kinks out. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are the work days, with Tuesday and Wednesday being in pads. And then Friday's usually either travel day or just a at-home day where you just kind of meet and walk through stuff. So when you've got 7 extra days, then you can do a lot of stuff to maybe refine stuff or just put something in that you've been thinking about but didn't have time to really make it go. The one thing I always felt about my coach used to tell me when I was playing quarterback, he says, if it doesn't look good in practice against a scout team, it's a pretty good chance it's not going to look good against their defense. And he was a kind of a smart aleck type guy, but he was right, because even though it's a good idea, but if your scout team can sniff it out and play it, it's a pretty good chance the other team's going to make it look bad too.
Coach, thank goodness for the indoor practice facility on days like today. It's looking out this window, rain and leaves falling, just a nasty day. But this time of year, I know in Oklahoma you certainly dealt with a lot of cold weather back in the day. And I know, again, thank goodness Georgia doesn't have to deal with that because of the indoor. But how much did that used to affect practices this time of year when you get a really nasty spat of weather come through?
Well, depending on who we're playing, if we're playing against a bad team, we wouldn't go out. Coach Switzer was really good about that. He'd tell our kids, hey, we're not going out here for these guys and get sick. So, but we had some teams that weren't very good and we were playing. But you know, we didn't have an indoor then, but we had a really massive area down in our weight room where we did the essential walkthroughs and stuff. But now they've got a really big facility.
Oh, yeah.
And but it really makes a difference two ways. One, when it's really hot, you can do a lot of good teaching with your individual, and then go out in the elements when you got your teamwork. And then when it's really bad, you can really formulate your game plan and really work at it. I remember the first time we played Tennessee here, when I was here, it rained Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Mm. Mm.
And we had to go over at that time to where the swimming pool is, to that area. And the first day we couldn't get on but 30 minutes because they had intramurals. And that really kind of made me feel like where a football team stood with everything. And then the second day we told them we needed it, so they gave us an hour. And then the third day we went over there and then it stopped raining and we went back to our practice field when we had a turf field, but the band was on it and the band didn't want to get off. And I told them, I said, well, if you don't get off, we're going to have to go on and practice and we'll see what happens. You know?
So, it'll be like challenge Stanford.
So I was
with
really,
the band out on
I
the
I was
field.
Really challenged that first week against Tennessee and didn't make any difference. They came down here and Peyton Manning them. We had them. We were playing them pretty good for a little while, but they ended up beating us. But it was just a really tough deal to try to, you know, get your team on a bus, go over there try to, you know, get as much done as you can. But now this indoor facility is just golden. Our kids know where to go on the field. Another thing that's really good about our facility is we have a video board, which when you get ready to switch periods, you know, they have a, because of the constricted area there, it's not as big as having three fields. They have a place where everybody's going. You know, O-line's going to this part of the field. Mm. Everybody's going here because you got to work on your kicking and all that. And then they can also show some video video of a play that you want to work on, just where you can practice it. So it's pretty good.
Georgia coming up Saturday, taking on Auburn. That'll be at 3:30. Coach, Georgia's special teams were really good again, too. And, you know, even though Blankenship did miss a field goal, he hit 4. Special teams player of the week once again. Camarda seems to be getting more and more comfortable. Dominic Blaylock, I thought, did a nice job there, too. Got to see Kyrus Jackson back there also, returning a punt, so getting a little bit more depth there. But the special teams seem to be coming along.
Yeah,
really,
you
well.
Know, every week I'm looking at my deal here because I write some notes, but Tyler Simmons came in there. You know, he's such a fast guy. He's one of our gunners, And he's what an anti-gunner, where you hold up the other team's gunner on punt return. Mm-hmm. He did a really good job on that one punt return that we had where, you know, we changed the field around there where, like you mentioned, Dom made a good catch and run. And then another guy that's doing well is Prather Hudson, who had a really good mm-hmm. block that sprung things. So these guys, kind of unsung heroes. We talked about Speed last week doing a good job down at Florida. And all these guys, we talk about Tay Crowder on the opening here. That's where he got his start, you know. And you sell those kids on how you do good on special teams. We're going to take you on the trips, and then you can maybe get in the games and show us what you can do.
And Crowder, by the way, in the Rose Bowl, one of the biggest plays in Georgia history at the end of the first half, getting ball to set up Rodrigo's field goal there. So those kind of things. And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Simmons as an anti-gunner. Those are the kind of things we don't normally see. So I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, I mean, I never called it that until I heard Coach Fountain call it. But you got a gunner who's the outside man. You know, everybody runs a spread punt now where you have two guys on the outside where they're just – go for the ball, you know what I mean? That's their idea to go, because you're so worried about protection, you got to protect before you kick it. And so you got two guys that are really all out going for it. And a lot of times people will put two men on each one of them to try to double them, you know, to keep them from getting down there. And then the anti-gunner is the guy, let's say we're returning a punt, then you're going to go out there and try to hold up their guy. You know, you're going to try to really do a job to keep him from going down and covering us. And the one time Simmons did a great job. As an offensive player who's a good blocker, he did a good job staying in front of the guy. And you just see in pro football and college just a lot of inordinate amount of blocks in the back because these guys are going so fast. But I tell you, the new rule where you can't blindside block a guy, you know, has really helped the block in the back, because kids have a tendency to maybe not go for them like that and just try to shield them now.
Right. That's an interesting point there, too. Plus, you know, another thing, and this isn't about blocking, but it's taken a few years, but you don't see receivers getting blown up by defensive backs anymore either like you used to. Well, I guess that's
a good rule. You know, you can't hit a defenseless guy, and everybody's so cognizant of the targeting rule that, you know, it's not worth it to take a shot, because with all these camera angles and everything like that, you know, if you target somebody, you're probably going to be dismissed from the game.
And then that means the rest of the game, and then potentially the first half of the next game.
Yeah, exactly. not a good scene.
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned earlier Tyreek Stevenson getting a lot of his reps out there right now in absence of Tyson Campbell, who we're very, very glad he's back, had a great game on Saturday night. But you get to see a lot of practice. How good can this kid be, and just the experience he's getting? And also just want to ask about DJ Daniel, because he's really a great addition to this roster so far this season.
Yeah, I don't get to watch as much practice as I used to because of my wife's situation. But I do go out there occasionally, and particularly, you know, try to get out there once every couple of weeks, but just for a little while. But, you know, you just see the athleticism and all these guys in the secondary. And I think David and I talked about the first week of Bulldog Friday night about I felt like our secondary was going to be so much better athletically, even though we lost Baker. I felt like these athletes that we had back there could really break on the ball. And you add those two safeties with just so much experience in LeCount and Reed. But there's really, every day, there's competition for that corner position. I mean, you talk about Campbell going down. Daniels was the JUCO guy coming in. But Stokes has just stepped up and played outstanding all year, except for the game he missed against Notre Dame. And then you know, the fact that Stevenson now is ready to go. There's, when you play these 3 and 4 wide receiver teams, you got to have some guys that can cover those guys inside. And then we got Webb and Devon Wilson, who have done a really good job as a star and a money back. So both of those guys are good tacklers too.
Love it. And again, with Campbell being out, giving these other guys a chance to step up and get some snaps they wouldn't have normally gotten.
I remember when we signed Daniels, Kirby told me, he said, we got to get some experience back there to go with our youth. Said, I really like the youth that we have, but here's the guy that's played 2 years of JUCO. He's been around the block. he can come in here and read. I talked to him the day that the kid showed up, you know, when we were getting ready for the bowl game against Texas. If a guy like Webb, the center, came in early, and also Daniels and a couple of those kids mm-hmm. that had have surgery came in too. But they can practice with our team. So, like, if we're in the playoffs or we're in a bowl, anybody that's coming in early can get in here and get, you know, some really good work for us to figure out what they're doing before spring practice. And DJ came in here and really took advantage of the technique work.
Mm-hmm.
I remember some of the assistant coaches, not Coach Tucker, but some people that work with the secondary, they were out there drilling him for hour and a half every practice, just technique, not so much our scheme. And boy, I tell you, it paid off, because when he was called on, he's kind of fearless. I mean, he challenges those guys. And the other night, maybe played the guy a little bit too tight there, and he could have hit a big one on him.
What would be an example of what you're talking about with, like, if you recruit a DB, and in Daniel's case, out of junior college, what is it, like bad habits, or is it something that wasn't taught specifically, or does Georgia do, like, their DBs to do things differently? Yeah.
The first thing that happens is just the quality of competition that he's faced for 2 years hasn't been anywhere like what he's going to see in practice or in the SEC. I mean, they do a good job down there. I mean, Bert's a good coach, and they're a very well-coached team, and they know some technique, and that's what Kirby knew, that this kid had some technique coming in. But, you know, nowadays you've got to be able to play man coverage if you're a corner guy. I mean, you got to be able to play bump and run man. You got to play inside out technique man. You got to play bell technique where you line up and back up. And, you know, you got to be able to do all that. Plus, you got to be able to tackle. And, you know, over the years, the game has evolved where people will scheme you and put your guys on an island, you know. And if you're out there by yourself, I mean, it's just you and that other guy. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's why you get to see so many holding calls on defense and so many defensive pass interference. And I tell you, I sure hope that everybody watches us against Auburn, because they grab and hold you. Their secondary, it's like they really do a good job of not getting called, but they hold you a lot. And hopefully – we'll get away from them, but they do a good job of grabbing you.
Well, that's what Russ Tanner said, right? Mm-hmm. That's what shoulder pads are made for
grabbing.
He said that?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's why you wear those jerseys so tight. Have you ever seen before a game? You guys don't need to go in there, but those offensive linemen will go in there and put on a – let's say a guy wears a triple XL, and he'll put on a XL and get that – equipment man to put it on, because he don't want anything loose on his.
Makes sense.
And they used to put that goo on their the outside, but they've outlawed that. You know, where you start grabbing, you grab a bunch of grease. But
well, the other night, Carol and I were flipping the channel, or we were the Green Bay Carolina game. Yeah, it turned into that snow globe, and Carol said, "God, those linemen, are they cold?" You know, because they weren't wearing any sleeves and all that stuff. And I said, no, they're not allowed to wear. I mean, they don't want anything to grab onto.
Right.
And she's like, oh, okay.
That's what those guys, but they're always tough and everything. I never will forget. We had that old boy that we talked about at Coach at Missouri. You know, those guys wear those hand pads and those elbow pads and all those. And the first day we were practicing, and our guys were pretty bad about it out there. You know, because they liked those pads. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to ditch those pads. We're going to learn how to get tough here. No pads underneath your shoulders except your shoulder pads. Nothing on your arms. You got me?
And then he went and sung the fight song. Was that the same guy?
Did you hear it?
I was listening. I was listening.
You can't go fight Tigers fight.
Can't go slow.
Right.
Can't go slow.
They didn't get to play much the other night. We were putting them in their dreams.
By the way, something that grinds my gears before we go to the
here
break.
Here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
And I hope our man Brett Bauckham is listening, and if he's not, you can get the word to him, because I like Brett a lot. And he can probably answer this question. But why during timeouts do both bands play at the same time? And what happens is you're not getting one band or the other. You're getting just nothing when you got them both playing at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to kind of – say, hey, you got the first 15 seconds.
Exactly.
Give the visiting team. But I guess they're oblivious to the fact. They just think their fans are hearing it. But
I get
it.
I will
tell you the worst situation I've ever seen with a band. It was great, but, you know, I had some games over the years where a team would play a lesser team. Like UAB was playing Alabama A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And their band, Alabama A&M,
oh, yeah,
band was strong. I mean, it was really good, a lot better than their team. And
yep.
So we were playing. They were playing the game in the old. How long we got to break here? You about ready?
Well, yeah, but go ahead. That's go ahead.
Story. So here's the stadium. Everybody knows how big that where they used to play the Iron Bowl there in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. It's just a big stadium, and there was maybe 10,000 people there max. But their band was on the other sideline, and you're supposed to, when the other team has the ball or when the ball's been played, you're supposed to not play.
Yeah.
This band played the whole third quarter. I mean, they never stopped.
Didn't stop.
And my producer was talking about, you got to talk up because of the band. I said, see if you can get the band to stop. I said, that's illegal. And they just kept on. I just kept laughing about it. But they played the whole third quarter, and they were just oblivious to it. And they were doing some jiving and drum majors out there, yeah, style. And it was great if you weren't trying to call the game.
Like when Southern came here in 2015, that was a big deal, the band. So, all right, Coach, we'll take a quick break. It's 8:32. Coach, what do we have right here?
This is Gene Chandler singing Duke of Earl.
A classic, absolute classic. I don't know why. I don't know who it was. When I grew up, my mother had a CD of some a cappella group, and they would do this song, and it sounded pretty good. But no one does it like Gene. Great, great addition to the jukebox this morning.
Best Gene in rock and roll until Gene Simmons came along.
And then nobody had a chance.
That's right. Then it was all she wrote.
Welcome back to the Morning Show 960 The Ref. It is presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, Logan and Dave. And as always on Tuesdays during the season, we get Coach Donnan and bringing the oldies with them on the jukebox this morning. And hit us up on the app. Use the open mic feature. We'll get to as many of those as we can and some emails if you have questions for Coach today.
We got a few already rolling in.
Okay. I'll ask one real quick, and we'll get a lot to him in a minute. But on Twitter, our man Andrew is traveling in Mississippi right now. He wants us to ask you, is there any place good to eat in Hattiesburg, Mississippi? Are you familiar with anything over there?
You know,
may have stumped him.
I can't remember. That's anything. Okay. There's some place there that's outside of town that they used to take us when we would do the games, but it's a barbecue place. But he can maybe just go on
there
on the local barbecues. But there's a place right outside town that. The other thing that was good about that place, they had some banana pudding and made the bulldog break his chain.
I'm
going to tell you this about the Southern Miss. Without question, the best press box food that I've ever had. Mm. Some lady made these homemade pies, and you go in there at halftime, they would have peach cobbler and ice cream. And everybody's wanting that count the clock to get it going.
Wow.
We had peach cobbler.
Speaking my language,
at
Coach.
At halftime, that was awesome.
Boy, oh boy.
By the way, Southern Miss, which is Hattiesburg, they beat UAB 37-2 on Saturday, and I looked it up. It wasn't a scoreigami. Do you know what that means? Like a score that's never happened before. Right. It's actually the third time there's been a 37-2, but I just thought that was so weird.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, UAB, we talked about when they played Tennessee, they hadn't played a very tough schedule. I don't think they played anybody really had a winning record.
Yeah.
And they just started turning the ball over like crazy. And Southern Miss has always got good players. I mean, they do a great job recruiting Mississippi junior colleges, and they fight for the players at Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Go for, and they got some kids that just grow up wanting to go to Southern Miss. They've just always been good, very good program.
If you're from Kill, Mississippi, your name might be Brett Favre, and you might end up at Southern Miss, and you might come to Athens and almost beat the Bulldogs. Luckily, that did not happen, but it was close. Hey, well, that part of the country, we hadn't even really talked about LSU and Alabama and your thoughts on that game from Saturday.
You know, it was just a monumental athletic event from a standpoint of just so many good players out there. But it just goes to show you that in big games, if you give the other team gifts, they're going to take advantage of it. Tua fumbles on the first drive. The punter drops the punt, goes right through his hands. They got 12 men on the field when they intercept the pass. So three situations there in the first quarter put them in dire straits. And then, overall, I just give Burrow a lot of credit. I mean, he really outstanding. They did a tremendous job of attacking Alabama. I mean, Alabama's got some – and we've talked about it every show we've had all year about Alabama's defense is not as good as ours. LSU's either, I don't think. I mean, they've given up over 100 points in their last two games against really good teams when you look at Clemson and LSU. Mm-hmm. And several times Saturday they had blinker lights on. They screwed up and didn't even cover a guy. So as good as their offense is, they missed on three third and short and one fourth and short that would really kept the ball for them that they couldn't, you know. And they finally figured out they could get the ball to Harris and make some things happen in the third quarter, and then they almost came back and won it. But I'm just telling you right now, as much as I hate it, the Auburn-Alabama game is going to have a lot to say about what's going to happen in the playoffs because Oregon lost to those guys. So if Alabama beats them, then they're going to be definitely considered because, you know.
And it would be at Auburn.
Yeah, and Auburn's going to – I mean, Oregon will be out if they win it. But, you know, we control our own destiny. I think if we went out and then beat LSU, I think LSU would be in over Alabama. But if LSU would happen to beat us, then I think Alabama might slip in.
Yeah, we had that conversation playing all the scenarios out that Bama has to be a LSU fan in that SEC championship if that's what unfolds right there. So right. A lot of crazy things happening. But as we pointed out yesterday, I think the playoffs are happening right now. It's already taking place before our eyes.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you talk about Oklahoma and Baylor and mm-hmm. and those teams, but Ohio State, Minnesota, I mean, you know, it looks like right now Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU are three teams, and everybody's going to be fighting for the fourth, but there's some things that could happen. You never know.
By the way, I've got the updated Heisman odds.
Ah, excellent.
If the Heisman were awarded today, Joe Burrow would be the runaway winner. I think that's safe to say.
Just ahead of Rodrigo?
It's got Hurts, Tagovailoa, and Fields all the same, though. So how would you rank those three behind him?
Well, it's going to be hard for Hurts to get it because their team's not going to be, you know, up for anything, I don't think. And they're just going to be – he's got such a – they lost four offensive linemen to the pros, and he's fighting for his life on every play. I mean – he just throws the ball up, and most of the time C.D. Lamb catches it, but they're getting some interceptions.
That was a bad pick he threw.
Yeah,
that
I can't see that.
Iowa
I can't
State.
See him winning yeah. it. Fields, if he keeps on playing like he has, the fact that defensive end has been suspended, you know, everybody talking about him, so he'll get his votes. But a lot of it has to do with him, how he's going to play, certainly not against Rutgers this week, but the next 2 weeks – Penn State and Michigan, he's going to be on a national stage there, be on the Fox game at 12 o'clock. But you got to think that Burrow just got to be the overwhelming guy at this point. And he deserves it. I mean, he's taking that team on his back, and they've been had some tremendous wins. I mean, you look at all the teams that they've beaten to this point, where they were ranked when they beat them, you know. I mean, he's had a great year. But I don't see LSU's defense being – I didn't get to talk anymore, but LSU's defense has got some real issues. So, Ohio State and Georgia's defense, to me, just a lot better than those two.
I know the defense is a big question, but Joe Brady, what he's done with LSU's passing game, we're watching it happen before our eyes this season, but how much can one coordinator, one assistant coach just come in and – revolutionize a program like that?
Yeah, I think just the fact that he brought in a lot of good ideas from the Saints, who, you know, really are one of the premier passing teams in the NFL, brought a lot of those concepts. But he doesn't call the plays. Steve Ensminger, mm-hmm. who's an ex-Georgia coach here, who played quarterback for LSU, is the offensive coordinator. But, the, you know, Brady has brought in the system a little bit, you know, particularly the RPOs that they run an inordinate amount. You know, like they're ranked right in the top 10 in the country in RPOs, whereas I think we're 108th out of 130. We don't run a lot of RPOs with our team. We ran a few more when we had Sony and those other guys when we, but now we don't run as many. But Brady gonna get a big package here. He's making like 350, and they say they're gonna put him up to $1.5 million to try to keep him. And the guy's never even been a full time coach to this year.
So what is he?
You got a chance, David. Go. I mean, you got a chance. I mean, just go. I mean, go be an analyst for the Saints.
So he's an analyst for them right now. He's not even a full time.
He was an analyst for the Saints.
Right, right.
And then he came in. Coach Ogeron said, "Hey, I want you to bring somebody over here that lecture us about the RPOs and what you Saint guys are doing. Can you send somebody down?" Well, he sent this Joe Brady, you know, instead of a full-time coach, and he impressed him. And so he hired him to be his receiver coach. His receiver coach was 74 years old, that had been coaching for a long time. He was a good coach, a guy I'd known for a long time. And he decided to retire. I don't know if it's because they knew they could get Brady or what, but they bring Brady in. And Ensminger's not an ego guy. He didn't have any trouble with this guy, you know, putting the concepts in. But I tell you, they got a good running game too. I mean, that back was outstanding. Mm-hmm. And if you just watch the tape, they really attacked Alabama's linebackers with that back. I mean, he caught an inordinate amount of yardage, not to mention the 100 yards he got rushing. So if you got a really good back out of the backfield, and that's where I think Swift, Harry, and Cook will be huge for us against Auburn, working on their backers.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because you're still on the Frank Broyles committee.
Right.
So when y'all are deciding assistant coach of the year and that kind of stuff, who's getting more of the talk at LSU? Is it Brady or is it Ensminger?
He's getting he's just such a novel issue that he, you know.
Talking about Coach Brady?
Yeah, he just he's the guy everybody says is, he's getting a lot, maybe too much credit, but he deserves it in a lot of ways. But Ensminger's calling the game too, but they're both of them a lot better because Burrow's running those plays. But I could see somebody making a move on him, you know, to be a D1 head coach. I mean, that stuff like that happens sometime. But there's a lot of guys doing well, though, in the assistant coach. I mean, Dan Lanning has come up there and done a terrific job for us. His name's going to be up there for it. You know, and then, as usual, Clemson will have one of their guys. And we'll see who else is up. Ohio State's defensive coordinator probably be up. Their offensive guy won't be, because Ryan Day, the head coach, runs the place.
So I was going to play a quick little game with Coach here before we go to the break.
Don't make it too tough.
Those should be right up your alley.
Make well,
you
look
actually
good,
kinda, you kind of did. I was going to give you the top five teams, and you tell me like who's the first assistant for that team that pops in your mind. So you mentioned the defensive coordinator for Ohio State. When I say LSU, do you think of Brady first?
Yeah, well, you know, and then Dave Aranda, defensive coach, gets a lot of –
but they're
love,
having a kind of a rough
they're
season.
They're having a rough year. He's not going to be – I mean, here's the thing. Each coach, like, they'll send a deal out to Kirby and all the head coaches, and they recommend who they want to, because
right.
It's not fair for us to pick a guy, because the coach knows what the contribution
sure.
is. And Kirby knows what it means, because he actually won it himself, so – he'll recommend somebody. Like last year, Mel Tucker got recommended. The same way with Dabo. All these guys will recommend. So I would think Dabo would probably recommend an offensive coach, because their offense is setting records this year. And defensively, Venables has won it before.
Yeah.
Ohio State, that guy came in from the pros and is a co-defensive coordinator. Greg Madison came from Michigan as one of the other coordinators. And then Oklahoma's guys gotten a lot of love early because they played better on defense. But the last 2 weeks, they look like horse manure. So I don't see anybody from Ohio State. So who else we got? To talk
I was going to say it. They've had so much turnover. But who comes to mind when you think of Alabama?
Nick.
Yeah. Well, if we could get him somewhere else, that'd be
right.
great.
Nick looked perplexed the other day. And, you know, they've had – several different defensive coordinators. This Golding guy came in, and he's had his troubles now. I mean, you look at their inability to stop these spread offenses. you know, I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's not all on the coach. But they made some big moves on defense. They brought in a new linebacker coach. They brought in a new secondary coach. And they made this guy the coordinator and let their linebacker coordinator coach go. He's coaching at the Philadelphia Eagles now. But they had seven new coaches on Alabama staff this year.
All right, we'll take a break. By the way, two teams that I just don't know much about as far as their staffs go are Oregon and Utah, and they're on a collision course to both be 11-1 in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, Oregon has got brought this guy in from Oklahoma State that's kind of helping with the offense. And then defensively, they brought in a guy that really has done a good job for him, too, from BYU. And then as far as who was the other one?
Yeah, Utah.
Utah. The coordinator at Vanderbilt is now the offensive coordinator there. They lost their offensive coordinator.
He's glad.
And it's obvious that with that less than 100 yards that they got against the Gators, they're going to make some changes. Maybe not the head coach, but certainly on offense.
Mm-hmm. All right. It is 8:51. Good stuff, Coach. Coach Donnan will be answering emails and open mic questions from the app. In the 9 o'clock hour.
You know that Willingham guy, we don't say a lot about him, but the guy's been a consensus every year. He's got an unbelievable bowl record. He's done a tremendous job in Utah, and he's been there ever since Urban Meyer left. He's had a chance a couple of times to go to BYU because he's a BYU graduate.
But Kyle Willingham. This Southern Sports Center, by the way, brought to you by St. Mary's Medical Group, providing specialist and primary care providers throughout Northeast Georgia. Dogs getting set to take on Auburn Saturday at 3:30. The following Saturday here against A&M, also 3:30. Georgia basketball tonight at 7 here on the Ref. You get the top national and local sports stories every 20 minutes. It's Athens, Voice of the Dogs, 960 The Ref and the 960 The Ref app.
I heard a melody, it haunted me from the start. Something inside of me.
The Coasters.
Started a symphony.
It's a good voice.
Sing with the string of my heart.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Great stuff. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. We only have about a minute before we break again. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll start looking ahead to next week. And we haven't even talked about Minnesota and what they've been able to do, but we'll get around to them.
Boat, man.
Yes, they are. They are rowing that boat.
He's done a really good job of articulating what he wants, his system. You look at what he did at Western Michigan. I've got to know a little bit about him because Drew Wilson, our trainer, one of our trainers here, his dad was a trainer at Western Michigan, just said the guy, total control, you know, the kids buy in on what he wants to do. And they've really got their own system. And, he had a kid that he had committed going to Western Michigan at quarterback, and then he took that job, and that kid went with him. And the guy's playing on fire.
Yeah, they are. So we'll talk about Coach Fleck, Minnesota, and everything else in the second hour. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. It's 8:57.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.